when they're subject to this these kinds of attacks. They need to be supported by their universities.
What do the students do?
The students, our students organized. They set up an email list. They started bombarding the universities with support letters for us, denying that we were teaching violence. They gave us a number of statements, and also decrying the fact that their images were put up on Breitbart's page, a violation of their privacy, possible violation of federal law, and that they were exposed. One of my students said, "My boss watches Fox. He can recognize me. I don't want to be fired for this." And one of my students said, "Look, we need the freedom and the privacy to talk about these issues, even inflammatory issues in the classroom. That's how we learn. And if that space is violated, that really takes away our right to an education."
Do you feel like this would have been different a year ago, the outcome, that you would
Absolutely.
Have been out, that Don would have been out?
That's right.
What changed?
I think we would have been toast. What changed is Shirley Sherrod and the attacks on NPR, the attacks on Acorn, and the fact that the media is now getting wise to Breitbart's lies. And so they held off for the most part. There were some bad stories, one in the St. Louis Post that was not very favorable, and one in a Columbia, Missouri
paper. Are you exploring legal recourse?
Yeah, I am. But the fact is that most of the media waited for my response and then my university's response, which took 3 days to come. And then we got the headlines, not Breitbart. That was a huge change, and I really appreciate that.
Judy Ansel, I want to thank you for being with us. Director of the Institute for Labor Studies, University of Missouri, Kansas City. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Aaron Mate, Renee Feltz, Nermaine Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Hani Massoud. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Eve with your concert billboard for Monday, May 9th through Thursday, May 12th. It's a quiet week. On Monday, Kinky Friedman is at the Highline Ballroom.
Yeah. It's going to be a quieter week. Some genius has the idea of writing Monday to Thursday on the concert billboard, but not telling you which Monday to Thursday it is. We're sorry. We don't have one for this week. But I'm sure there are concerts. Just go out and start asking total strangers. It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. Time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm here. Sorry, I just had to do a lot of maintenance and fixing and preparing and things like that. When you walk in only a minute or two before the program begins, and things end early and other things are mislabeled, and things are, sometimes I think someone comes in here and just sets things up, so it's sort of like an obstacle course. You have to find the headphones, they're hidden someplace. You got to put all the switches back in the right position, otherwise all kinds of mayhem ensues. But you got to get the internet to work properly, because lots of times that doesn't happen. But it's all good. Everything's fine. Everything's working now. We're going to get through this. Just bear with us. It's Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, where it's all hitting the fan at once, apparently. Well, here's the thing. Next week, I'm not sure what's happening next week, because I don't know if you remember, a month or two ago, I was talking about a jury summons that I got. Actually, a grand jury summons. And it's not a very nice-looking summons. It's the grand jury that's summoning. And for a change, they're not summoning me to ask me a lot of questions. They're summoning me to join in the party, apparently. And next Monday is my rescheduled date. The first one I slept through. I'm sure I'll sleep through this one, too, except I have to do it out there. So basically, somehow, I have to be in Riverhead at 9 o'clock in the morning on Monday, and I'm not sure what happens at that point. I don't know how many people get selected, actually, to be on a grand jury, but if you're on a grand jury, what it means is you have a 9-to-5 job for the next month, every single day, and you get to decide who gets indicted and who does not get indicted. It's a bizarre system. It really is. And we're seeing some of it come into play now with the arrest of the French politician guy who's accused of all kinds of strange activities in the hotel room. But it's bizarre when you see the French reaction to it and how horrified they are to see somebody who's presumed innocent being led away in handcuffs and pictured as a guilty person. In this country, we say presumed innocent until guilty, but it's really in words only, because everybody looks at somebody who's being led away in handcuffs and says guilty. I mean, that's just the way it is. And I fear on a grand jury, the pressure is there to always indict, to always listen to the prosecutor, because you can't listen to the defense. The defense lawyer is not allowed to make any statements. You only hear the prosecutor, and maybe you hear the victim, is that the right word? The defendant, okay. The defendant, if they choose to come in and answer questions from the grand jury. But his lawyer, her lawyer, cannot be there with them, advising them what to do. So it's really kind of a stacked deck. And you're not allowed to talk about it with anybody, ever. You're not allowed to reveal what goes on inside there. I have a feeling I'm not going to make a very good team player when it comes to all these rules and having to pretty much do whatever the prosecutors or cops tell you to do. Even though you have, quote-unquote, the freedom, it's, again, in name only, I think. I think most people just dutifully go along with whatever it is they're told. Well, this guy, you know, we think he's guilty of this, so why don't you go and indict him, and we'll let a jury in court figure it out. You know, it doesn't always work out that way. Many times when you're put in front of a judge, when you're put in front of a jury, you wind up being found guilty no matter what, because people just tend to believe prosecutors and cops a lot more than they should. So, if I am selected, I'm going to be asking a lot of questions. And I understand grand juries can start their own investigations. So I might just turn the tables a little bit and start investigating some of these prosecutors and cops. Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be just a whole carnival of events. Or maybe I won't get selected. We'll see. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't know. There's all kinds of ways you can, I guess, be sort of not selected or eliminated. If I tell them the next day, and this is actually what's going to happen, the next day I might be on Frontline talking about WikiLeaks in a defensive manner. They might not like that if I happen to mention, yeah, by the way, I'm somebody who would say this and that about this particular controversial news event, and you can watch it yourself and see for yourself that that's how I feel. Yeah. And if that is what gets you eliminated, how fair is the system? that you can only have certain views. You can only be a certain type of person. We'll see. We'll definitely see. Next Monday is when I find out. The hardest part is being there at 9 o'clock in the morning. Really, that's the hardest part. Everything else, I think I can handle. Ah, boy. So, dealing with that, I just found out today, this is something else. It just always falls on my head for some reason. People out here on the island have all kinds of issues. Mostly it's about property taxes or property or keeping people off your property or buying more property or whatever. It's mostly just being obsessed with these kinds of things. And the latest instance of this, in my neighborhood, people have noticed, took them a while, but they've noticed that there's a lot of deer in the neighborhood now. And the reason there are deer in the neighborhood is because they got driven out of their original habitat because people overdeveloped and built all kinds of townhouses that nobody's living in. So now the deer came to a different part of town, and you might have this in your neighborhood too. And people are angry. They're angry that there are so many deer there. They say there might be as many as 12. Yeah, and they're really upset that these deer are, for one thing, spreading deer ticks, and this is a concern. Deer ticks are a concern for sure. Of course, you have to remember that they're deer ticks, not deer. And I always wonder, you know, if you don't have the deer, where do the deer ticks go? Do they just hang out and wait for more deer to come around, or do they just die with the deer? I'd like to know. I'd like to know this, because what they're proposing... They're proposing a mass slaughter of the deer in our neighborhood. Now they're saying they're going to do it what's the word they used? It was a word that made me laugh. But it wasn't kind. They were going to be something to indicate that they weren't going to make them suffer. They're going to kill them quickly or something like that. Now I see these deer in the neighborhood all the time. And, I talked about once when the mother was threatening me by stomping her hoof on the ground, and I thought that was just kind of interesting, and I kept my distance because she was protecting her kid. Well, you know, these are families. These are families of large animals moving around. They have emotions. They it's kind of like what we were talking about last week, where animals show emotion. They do relatively complex things. For instance, again, I talked about my cat catching mice. He caught a mouse this last week since we talked about this, and felt compelled. I was working hard on the issue, the summer issue, trying to get that out. But he brings a mouse up and starts batting it around in the air. You know, it takes a certain kind of spirit to do that. He doesn't just catch the thing and eat it. No, he wants to torture it. He wants to show off. He wants to get me involved into it. So literally, like a baseball, he bats it and it hits me. Mouse flying through the air hits me, and the cat's loving it. Yeah, he's. I mean, cats don't laugh, but this was the closest I think he could get to it. Animals have all kinds of emotions and advanced techniques that I like to study, and I think deer are right up there with them. So unless it's absolutely necessary to cull the herd, as they say, I like to avoid that kind of thing as much as possible. Now, maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm just one of these people that thinks everything should be given a chance. But, you know, I'm not standing up for the deer ticks. I'm not saying that we got to preserve them and keep them healthy and happy. Maybe it's because they're so small. Maybe it's because they don't really show much advanced characteristics or whatever. Or maybe because they cause diseases and misery amongst humans. Humane, that was the word. Yeah, we're going to kill them as humanely as possible. Yeah, where have I heard that before? Anyway, so here's the thing. It comes down now to me, apparently, because there are more deer around my house than anyone else's. So I have to give permission for hunters to set up shop in trees with shotguns and bows and arrows to get rid of all these deer. And I don't think I'm going to do that. And it's going to cause all kinds of problems. But I have a problem with that. I have a problem with not exploring all the other options and seeing if this is really the only way to deal with the problem, if it even is a problem. People say that vegetation is being eaten by the deer. Yeah, that'll happen. That'll happen, but, you know, we don't eat the vegetation. It's not affecting our daily lives. Yeah, okay, maybe you won't have as many flowers this year because the deer decided to have at them. But there are other plants you can grow that the deer don't like. You can adapt. That's what this whole Darwinism thing is about, adapting. So, yeah, you have deer coming around and eating things and birds maybe taking things that don't belong to them. So you do something else to sort of outsmart them. We're supposed to be smarter, right? So we can do that. And plus, I don't think eating vegetation is reason enough to kill an animal. I know farmers will feel differently, but we're not really talking about farm crops here. We're talking about flowers and pretty plants and things like that. So I just don't think that's reason enough. Now, overpopulation, yeah, that's a problem. And if it were up to me, I'd let some wolves out and let them even the score a little bit. Yeah, I don't have a problem when it's nature doing things naturally without this huge advantage. When the cat kills a mouse, yeah, I could have dived in there and saved the mouse. Would have insulted the cat, would not be speaking to me, but I would have saved the mouse. But, you know, at that point, the die's been cast. And you just sort of have to let it unfold. Try not to get involved. Try not to get hit in the head with the mouse flying through the air. But that's nature. That's a part of it. Sitting on top of a tree with a shotgun, that's not so much nature, I don't think. And it seems pretty cruel, too, when you break up families that are peaceful and just hanging out because they've been driven from where they were before. But, yeah, you know, there are diseases, there are problems with overpopulation. Maybe there are other ways of dealing with this. Maybe relocating, shooting with a tranquilizer gun, relocating them someplace else. I'd like to know from our listeners, am I being hopelessly naive here? Should I give permission to have this slaughter take place? I'm going to say slaughter. If they're going to say humanely killing, I'm going to say slaughter. How about we say humanely slaughter? You know, it's, if you look up Webster's definition of what slaughter is, I think it fits. So yeah, it's all this throws me for a loop. People want me on a grand jury. They want me to give permission for death. Yeah, it's a bit much to handle. And something else that just kind of got me in a bad mood. I thought Judgment Day was the following weekend, the end of the month, Memorial Day weekend. Turns out it's this weekend coming up. And yeah, that's just going to, I mean, I had all kinds of things worked out and arranged, and now I've got to do things sooner. Otherwise, I'm not sure if any of my checks are going to be good after Judgment Day. Because it lasts, I think it lasts, 6 months or something like that? We're gonna look into this and figure it out in just a moment. But, you didn't know? You knew. Come on, people know. It's been in the news. It's been covered a lot. The world comes to an end on May 21st. Well, I heard a boom. Maybe it's coming to an end now. It's been set. It's been scheduled for quite some time. If you drive across the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway, there's a huge billboard there. Huge billboard says Judgment Day. Then it gives the frequency of a radio station. And it's not our frequency either, unfortunately. But that's where to tune, apparently, to hear the updates of what's going to be happening in the days, weeks, and months ahead. How about some appropriate music for this?
That's great, it starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and aeroplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid.
Let's go!
I am a hurricane, listen to yourself. Turn world to this old knees. Don't deserve your own knees. Beat it up with not be blood. No strength, no blast. Don't you flatter with a fear of height. Downright fire in the fire. Represent the seven gates. In a government for hire and a combat site. Luster wasn't coming in a hurry with the fury speeding down. No! Reporters, battle drop, tell the crop, we can damn well play. Fine, then, overflow, population, common group, and it'll do. Serve yourself, world's on its own knees. Listen to your heart, please. Tell me with the ration and the record down the right.
All right. Well, you know, it's kind of irrelevant how you feel, because the end of the world is coming, and it's set for, you know, I don't have a starting time, unfortunately. I've been trying to get that. But the billboards just say May 21st, and this is something that's run by Family Radio. Have you heard Family Radio? There's a Family Radio station actually right next to us on the dial, and they're not far away, too. I think they're in Smithtown. But the main flagship station, WFME, is in New Jersey. It stands for Where Faith Means Everything, or at least they made it stand for that. Basically, this is all the work of the guy who runs that. His name is Harold Camping. There's a five-month, okay, it's a five-month judgment period after May 21st. And the world won't be completely obliterated until October 21st. So, you know, I'm not trying to make light of this or anything like that. It is the end of the world, after all, as we know it. But the people who believe this, the people who really take this, and there are a lot of people who take this seriously, billboards are expensive. A billboard over the BQE cost a pretty penny. A lot of money for this. People have to pay for it. People who donate to that particular radio station paid for that billboard. Paid for billboards all over the country heralding the end of the world on a particular date, so that there's no misunderstanding. And, you know, we always are asking for people's help here at this radio station. I can guarantee you we never do something like that, where we blow your money on a billboard for something that... Well, look at it this way. If it is the end of the world, then I guess it doesn't matter. Have they paid for the billboard? They if they're smart, they haven't paid for it yet, because why pay for it if the end of the world is coming? But if it doesn't happen, they're wasting money. They're throwing it away on tremendously foolish endeavors. But anyway, to get back to my question, if people out there believe this truly, they're not going to need their apartments, are they? I mean, they're not going to need them after October for sure. So I'm going on record as saying I don't really believe this, okay? There, I've said it. Let's let that set in for a minute. All right. I've said it. I don't believe Judgment Day is upon us. So, yeah, heathen, I know, all that. Can I have the apartment? Because you don't need it. You're going to go the rapture thing, whatever. But you sure don't need an apartment back here on Earth. In fact, it's not going to exist, because Earth is going to be obliterated. They say not only Earth, but the whole universe. This is how important their religion is. It encompasses not only everybody on this planet, all the different religions and cultures and backgrounds. Yeah, we've got it all. We've got this one. It's our religion. That's the one that's going to destroy the world. And it might, too. But no, the whole universe, all those planets and stars and quasars and everything out there. Yeah, that's all WFME, too, where faith means everything. That's faith. That is the epitome of faith. Anyway, from what I've been reading, Camping has been predicting the end of the world for quite some time. He actually did this before, in 1994. Yeah. And nothing happened. At least I don't think anything happened. So, Judgment Day, May 21st. I went to their website, and you can go to their website too, familyradio.com, and read all about Judgment Day. The end of the world is almost here. Holy God will bring Judgment Day on May 21st, 2011. Judgment Day is feared by the world, and is the day that God will destroy the world because of the sins of mankind. Except God did create mankind, and he also, by extension, created the sins. So is this not some form of self-loathing on the part of God, destroying a piece of himself? And further, if he destroys the entire universe, well, what does that leave for God to do? He's going to be there in sort of a blank void. You know? Something to think about. The world is correct in believing that Judgment Day will come. The Bible gives us the correct and accurate information about that day. The Bible, incidentally, is the holy book written by Holy God, who is the creator of this beautiful world. And owner of the copyright and vigorous pursuer of anybody who violates the copyright to the Holy Word. So think twice. The Holy Bible is without question a very ancient book, having been completed about 1,900 years ago. In its original languages, mostly Hebrew and Greek, it has never been changed, and each and every word in the original languages is from the mouth of God. The Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament, with each part divided into many books. Each book is divided into chapters. Each chapter is divided into verses. Each verse is divided into words. Each word is divided into letters. Each letter, well, you get the point. This goes on and on like some kind of a fractal. Anyway, one of the books is named 2 Timothy. Yeah, 2 Timothy, as some people say. In chapter 3, verse 16, we can say 2 Timothy 3:16, like they do at the Mets games. Holy God tells us all scripture is... I should do the voice of God better than this, shouldn't I? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Sounds like they're putting together a newspaper. In Jeremiah 36:1-4, God gives an example of how the Bible was written. Well, we sat around on a Sunday night, and we knew the deadline was coming up early Tuesday morning. But we had to get beer and pizza first and assign the story. Okay, all right. I'm sorry, I shouldn't make light of it. But the end of the world's coming, you know? What have I got to lose? It came to pass in the fourth year of... Oh, God, I can't... Sorry, I can't say that word. How do you pronounce J... Is that a C or an E? Is this tiny print? Okay, Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. All right. That this word... You realize you have four proper names here that begin with J, all on the same line? Jehoiakim, Josiah, Judah, and now Jeremiah. Anyway, this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, all caps, saying, take thee a roll of a book and smoke it up. No. I can't help myself. Take a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I've spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee. Grammar, spake? Can't say spake. I think some people even find that offensive. Speaked unto thee from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I propose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch did not like that at all. Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And in parentheses here, the roll of the book is the Bible. Yeah. Holy God is far, far greater than our human minds can even begin to explain or understand. Okay, so that lets me off the hook, because obviously I don't get it, and I don't understand it, and I can't comprehend it. Whew, feels good, though. In Genesis 1:1, and that's the very beginning of everything. 1:1, Genesis, yeah. God declares, in the beginning, yeah, God created the heaven and the earth. The Holy Bible is a book written to us so that we can know that Holy God created this beautiful universe, including all of its plants and animals, birds and sea creatures, and mankind, who was created to rule this earth. Bet you didn't know that. Yes. Indeed, there is no being of any kind that can compare with Holy God, who simply by speaking brought every kind of plant, animal, sea creature, and mankind, sun, stars, etc., into existence. For example, Holy God tells us in his Holy Bible in Genesis, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. Why does God speak of himself in the third person? Shouldn't he say, and I said, if he wrote the book? I'm sorry. God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that, hey, it was pretty good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. As opposed to what? The fish of the land? Come on. And over the fowl of the air. Again, really? Over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That's kind of creepy right there. Anyway, okay, you know, I could go on and on. I could have a lot of fun at their radio station reading these things. But eventually, after about 50 pages of this, okay, all right, where are we here? Okay, in 2 Peter 3:8, Holy God reminds us that one day is as 1,000 years. Therefore, with the correct understanding that the 7 days referred to in Genesis 7:4, that can be understood as 7,000 years. We learn that when God told Noah, you know, the guy with the boat, there were 7 days to escape worldwide destruction, he was also telling the world there would be exactly 7,000 years, because one day is 1,000 years, to escape the wrath of God that would come when he destroys the world on Judgment Day, because holy, infinite God is all-knowing. He knows the end from the beginning. He knew how sinful the world would become. So one has to ask, why did he do this in the first place? What's the point? Some kind of a sick game. Okay, so, yeah, escape the wrath of God, all that. 7,000 years after 4990 BC, which was the year of the flood. Yeah, did you know that? 4990 BC, the year of the flood. 7,000 years after that is 2011. And they have an equation here. 4,990 plus 2,111 minus 1 equals 7,000. 1 year must be subtracted in going from an Old Testament BC calendar due to a New Testament AD calendar date because the calendar does not have a year zero. Yeah, they thought of that. Okay, so anyway, Holy God wants us to know that exactly 7,000 years after he destroyed the world with water in Noah's day, he plans to destroy the entire world forever. Just fed up. Because the year 2011 AD is exactly 7,000 years after 4990 BC when the flood began, the Bible has given us absolute proof that the year 2011 is the end of the world during the Day of Judgment, which will come on the last day of the Day of Judgment. Wait a minute, what? The end of the world? Okay, the end of the world comes on the last day of the Day of Judgment. The last day of the day? I think it could have been said better. Anyway, amazingly, May 21st is the 17th day of the second month of the biblical calendar of our day. Remember, the floodwaters also began on the 17th day of the second month in the year 4990 BC. So did the towers actually fall from the planes, or were they exploded from the inside? The Holy Bible gives several additional astounding proofs. Oh dear, sorry, that wasn't supposed to be in there. Or was it? Well, the Bible gives more proof that May 21st, 2011 is very accurate as the time for the Day of Judgment. And there's all kinds of things that you can click on. But here's the thing, all right? Above and beyond all this, you could say 7,000 years. You can say that that this is all planned from the very beginning. And there are all kinds of mathematical equations. But the real fact of the matter is, we know why this is happening. We know why the end of the world is coming. Don't you know? Don't you know what it really is that forced us to happen? Well,
welcome to our Bible study.
Yeah, let's find
Today
out.
We will be reading a short article titled, Gay Pride, Planned by God as a Sign of the End. This article gives more evidence from the Bible that we are very near the end of the world. Gay pride and same-sex marriage successes, a sign from God that Judgment Day is very near. The worldwide success of the gay pride same-sex marriage movement is a dramatic sign provided by God to warn the world that the world is on the threshold of Judgment Day. In the Bible, God has given a number of signs to warn the world that Judgment Day and the end of the world are very close. For example, The nation of Israel was destroyed by the Romans in the year 70 AD. As a consequence, for more than 1,800 years, it did not exist as a nation, nor did it have its own homeland. But then, in 1948, almost miraculously, it became a nation with its own homeland. God planned this event for many reasons. One was to demonstrate that the world is getting near to its end. Matthew 24, verses 32 and 33. Two, the rise of the charismatic movement that began several decades ago and has spread like wildfire throughout the world into so many churches. Matthew 24, 24, Revelation 13, 13 and 14, is another sign that God has given that indicates we are very close to the end. Three, the great spiritual decay that can be seen in most churches, 1 Peter 4:17, Jeremiah 25:28 and 29, is another sign that God has given. Four, another sign is given by God's word in 1 Thessalonians 5. There God warns that there will be a time when there will be true believers who will know from the Bible the time of the day of judgment. But a great many others who have the Bible will insist he will come as a thief in the night. That is, we cannot know the time. In our day, if any person who is a member of a church is asked, "Do you know when Christ is coming?" The answer that will usually be given is, "The Bible says we cannot know. Jesus is coming as a thief in the night." If the questioner then asks, "Are you ready to meet him whenever he comes?" The usual answer that is given is, "Yes, I am saved. I am ready to meet him whenever he comes." Effectively, they have said, "Christ is coming as a thief in the night, but I am safely at peace with God because I am saved." This response is exactly the sign God has given in the Bible that assures us that Judgment Day is almost here. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 through 6, God warns, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, 'Peace and safety,' then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. For ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." For those who are not watching, Christ gives the frightening warning that he will come as a thief. Sudden destruction will come upon them. In Revelation 3, verse 13, God informs us, "If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." To watch means to search through the Bible to learn from God when he is coming. This is the way we have learned that he is coming on May 21, 2011. This sign gives us the terrible warning that those in the churches who believe that we cannot know the exact day of Christ's return and that he will come as a thief in the night, but that they themselves are saved, will for certain enter into Judgment Day to endure the wrath of God. How awful!
Oh my God, how awful indeed. Wow. So you're saying basically that everybody who reads the Bible and interprets it to mean that we can't know exactly when Christ is going to show up. A thief in the night? Really? That's what... I mean, he sounds like Osama bin Laden, the way you guys are describing him. You're not going to know. He's going to just sneak in and, oh boy, the wrath and all that kind of thing. Well, okay, so the people that basically believe in a different way, they're the ones that are going to be subject to God being all pissed off for some reason, because they've been good every other way, but they're just getting this particular thing wrong, and I don't believe that they can tell that May 21st, 2011 is the day of judgment. I don't know. Just seems, but what I'm really interested in, the gays, it's all their fault, right?
God came to Lot's house, appearing as two very distinguished, holy men.
Okay, this is going to take forever for you to get around to, but basically what you guys are saying is that because of the gay rights movement, it's amazing how almost every organized religion is able to come back to that and point the finger at that and say, yeah, it's your fault, you're wrecking everything for the rest of us, and,
Wow, okay,
you know, it's getting a bit harder to take this seriously.
The next morning after Lot and his two daughters,
let's take some phone calls. I'm sure there are many people here that have opinions on this and other things too. Maybe the slaughtering of the deer or the strangeness of spring and what's in the air and that kind of thing. Our phone number is 631-632-9872. Yeah, I can imagine people just tuning into the radio and hearing.
Of Sodom is revealed to us as an example of the day of judgment.
Yeah, wondering just what in God's name has happened to this radio station. It could happen, folks. It could happen. But you know what? I'd like to issue a challenge to that other radio station down the dial a little bit. You don't need your frequency after Saturday, right? Or at least after October, you don't need it, because that's really the end. So if you believe this, I mean, we can't go on the air and say things that are completely untrue, right? You have to believe what you say. So hand it over. Hand over the frequency. Hand over the property and the equipment. Maybe you have equipment that works. You know, I won't have to tear my hair out trying to get the station running. All right, let's go into delay, we'll be back in just a moment with hopefully some phone calls. 631-632-9872.
Hello, this is Henry Rollins, and you're listening to WUSB SUNY Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
And we're back in delay land, where I think we have to be to have a conversation like this. I just got to make sure we're not distorting too badly. Okay, good, good. 631-632-9872. Are you prepared for Judgment Day? Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, good evening.
How you doing?
All right. I don't know. I think you underestimate the intelligence of the audience. I mean, anybody foolish enough to believe any of this stuff?
Well, you know, there's a radio network.
Hold on. But you're advancing, you know, very puerile attacks on it. I mean, it's like, you know, mounting a strenuous offense against the Easter Bunny. There isn't one. Why worry about it?
Well, but there isn't a network of radio stations that follow the Easter Bunny 24 hours a day.
See, I think their greatest sin is that they, what do you call it, bleed over their frequency. They're at 88.9, and they bleed over, what do you call it, NYU.
Oh, yeah, and they completely obliterate Hofstra as well.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is a really big sin.
Okay, well, I guess to each their own as far as what their biggest sin is.
And, you know, as far as the deer go, I mean, I don't know where you live in Long Island. I imagine somewhere out east by Ridge, you know.
It's not that far out. It's actually right around here. There are deer on the Stony Brook campus sometimes.
Well, they said he wants people with guns to go into an area where there's homes and people and pets and children and have at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right there, I would think that would be, I don't know, a little chancy.
It's disturbing whenever you have people firing weapons anywhere around the area, but in this particular case, I'm just questioning whether or not it's warranted.
I'll give you 2 points because I imagine other people want to get on the.
Yeah, board. We have a full switchboard actually.
The Byzantines believed Byzantine calendar. They the ones that actually adapted what we now have as what do you call it 1 AD, even though they did it in around year 590 AD.
Uh-huh.
They decided somehow that. What we now accept as being 1 AD would be the calendar date. But what they had up to that time, their calendar went back 5,790 years.
Okay.
Well, I mean, why? Why go back 5,790 years from the year 500 AD? I mean, like 600 AD. So you're going back, 5,200 years, before Christ.
They obviously believe more was happening before that.
Well, I mean, yes, there must be some kind of records. I mean, if we follow this belief about the precession being 2,100 years cycle, that means you need 12 times 21. That's, 26,000 and change to observe this?
Yeah, you know, it all becomes about numbers, and people love numbers. They love to throw these things around and say that proves this. And
well, no, I mean, if you can actually prove mathematically that it does happen every 26,000 years. You either had to have really good math, really good astronomy, and, good telescopes. So I'll leave that for people's delectation.
All right, listen, thanks for your phone call. And hope you make your peace.
1515.
Okay. This guy's
the verb,
still going.
Paradidomai is also translated.
They can go forever, can't they?
For example, the sun...
24/7. Good evening, you're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, Emmanuel. I'm from Bulgaria.
Oh, Bulgaria. How you doing?
All right. Say, I wanted to ask you something about what you spoke of 2 weeks ago. Is that okay?
Yeah, but I think everybody wants to talk about what's going on at the end of the world and all that happening in a couple of days. But go ahead.
Well, when they killed the big bad boogeyman person, remember?
The thief in the night. Oh, no, you mean the OBL. Yeah, right.
They kill the big bad boogie person,
uh-huh.
And they throw the body into the deep, dark ocean.
Yes.
It's like a fairy tale of some sort they made up.
The whole thing has been like a fairy tale.
It's a make-believe thing. They say they made DNA testing, but they throw the body into the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they say it's in accordance to...
Yeah, but you know that no matter what they did, there would be people saying there's some kind of cover-up and conspiracy and things like that. I mean, you got to at some point just choose to suspend your disbelief and say, okay, whatever, can we just move on and put our damn shoes back on?
It's the... In exact opposition to Muslim custom, where burial at sea is only allowed in extreme circumstances if the person died at sea, not if they died at land. And
well, like I said before, I think it's an insult to Islam to even consider him a Muslim based on what he did in life, but that's not for me to say.
If there was such a person, and he was in a movie plot of some
right
body anyhow.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he didn't even exist. Maybe this whole thing is fiction, but in which case, I'm glad to see that part of the story end. We can move on to something a little bit more intelligent, perhaps.
I'd be happy to fly around the world with shoes on.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Anyway, listen, I've got some more phone calls. Great hearing from you.
Have a good night.
You too. Take care. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
I'd like to comment on the subject you're talking about.
The end of the world.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, you have a couple of days, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, the person that, or the radio station that you're referencing, the person that's on there, okay, is really someone who has predicted this before.
Right.
And he's actually, by all mainstream Christian denominations, he's considered a false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you would have any person from a mainstream Christian church on there, they would basically tell you that the man is a false prophet. He is twisting the scriptures, and he's done this before,
mm-hmm.
and he'll probably do it again because whatever he's saying is going to take place on the 21st
mm-hmm.
Is not going to take place. What I not that I object to, but unfortunately, some people that are listening are going to brand all Christians as being included with this man.
What I want to know is, okay, so you believe it's not going to happen, and I kind of don't believe it's going to happen either. So what do they say when it doesn't happen? How do they escape this with any semblance of dignity?
I don't know if you've ever listened to this that radio station over the years. Maybe you haven't. A number of people that were originally on it 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
they're no longer on there. They left. They have a few people,
right?
Okay, who were the original people that were on there, including the person who's the main teacher, because he funds basically the whole thing,
right?
And then, of course, whoever calls in and
well, the listeners funded the people that contribute money to this organization.
Funded to an extent, a large number of people. I mean, a large number of people that used to listen to him no longer listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because many people from mainstream denominations used to listen to him, because at one time it was very hard to discern whether he was really a false teacher.
Mm-hmm.
As time went on, things became clearer and clearer, even to the layman, even to the, you know, the bench warmer, or the, you know, the person that sits on the bench, not so much the pastor, but even the regular Christian began to realize that there's something wrong there. And as a result, many people no longer support him. He supports basically himself. And most of the things are done through through transmitters. You know, they mm-hmm. have a cheap way of expanding and, you know, covering a large southeast of the area.
And they have so many radio stations, it's not even funny. The amount of community stations that could exist if these guys weren't blanketing the dial with their propaganda and silliness.
Yeah, but you see, the reason why I'm calling is that the point is, we don't know, Christ, which every Christian believes, is ruling and reigning over his creation, okay? Christ did not set the date. No one knows when the date is, and actually, if you do a proper reading of the Bible, most of the nations of the world are not Christianized.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And most of the planets out there aren't either, I'll bet.
If you do a proper reading of even in the Old Testament, it says that the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Mm-hmm. And basically what that means is that the gospel, which is preached, which is forgiveness of sin, okay, by Jesus Christ and his atoning work on the cross, okay, that's going to be a message that in time will be pervasive and cover all the nations of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're giving it their best, that's for sure. Listen, sir, we're almost out of time, so I want to try to get one more phone call in.
Oh, all right.
All right, thanks for your opinion. And good evening, you're on Off the Wall. Make it quick. Oh, that was too quick. Wow, they hung up. All right, so we try this one then, really quick? Yes, you have the last word. Go ahead.
Greetings from Shirley.
Shirley, how you doing?
Guys, a total ding-dong. There's no way it could be the 21st.
What date do you think it is, then?
22nd.
Oh, Sunday. Better, yeah. All right, listen, thanks for that. I'll try to pass it along. All right, that's going to have to be the last word. It's, yeah, it's time for us to go. And since Judgment Day is Saturday, well, or Sunday, depending on who you believe, I'm not sure what we're going to be doing next week. And, you know, since it takes 5 months for the whole world to be destroyed, I guess we will do some more shows. But because of that grand jury thing, I'm not sure I'll be here live. So next week's going to be kind of a toss-up. We'll find out. OTW at 2600.com. We'll see you next week. Good night. Out of reach, waiting through the end of the world.
Hey kids, Finn with you on Finn's Revolution every Tuesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Tonight we're going to have a very special guest on the air, Phyllis Chen and Rob Dietz, who will be playing some toy pianos and talking all about it. So stay tuned for that, plus tons of tickets. Stay tuned.
You forgot that you're mine. I don't care, 'cause I've got more like you. And I like this day. skin.